Nurse Essentials has reached our one-year anniversary. I'm joined today by an old friend of the show to revisit some of the highlights of this first amazing year. Hi, and welcome to Nurse Essentials, a Cleveland Clinic podcast where we discuss all things nursing, from patient care to advancing your career to navigating tough on-the-job issues. We're so glad you're here. I'm your host, Carol Pahatsky, Associate Chief Nursing Officer of Surgical Services Nursing. Welcome back, everyone. I can't even believe I'm telling you this. We are at the one-year anniversary of the first airing of the Nurse Essentials podcast, and what a year it's been. The responses that we've gotten have just been so amazing, and it's such an honor to be able to be your host in this journey. And because we're celebrating our first year's anniversary, we thought it would be great to welcome back our first guest. So please welcome back with me, Meredith Fox. Meredith is our Executive Chief Nursing Officer here at Cleveland Clinic. Meredith, welcome back. We're so glad to have you.
So happy to be here at the one-year anniversary of our Nurse Essentials podcast, Carol. And I just have to say happy anniversary to you of being our podcast host for a year. You've done an incredible job in creating this program from the infancy of when we said, wow, could we do a nursing podcast and who's the right person to host and gather ideas and find the speakers and really speak to topics that really speak from, you know, the heart of nurses, not only at the Cleveland Clinic, but heart of nurses everywhere in terms of our profession. So,
well, thank you. So that's a great point for our audience is that I get to be the hostess, but it was y'all came to me. So tell us a little bit more about sort of the genesis of this idea, if you would.
Well, when you think about where we are in terms of how people get their information or how people wind down or how people spend their time, you know, when you talk with any professionals, one of the first things out of their mouths is, well, I've gotten into podcasts. And whether it's been a famous people podcast, a learning podcast, a healthy podcast, there's so many different topics. But really thinking around, you know, professional podcasts and what stories do we have to tell and what insights can we tell as nurses? And especially at Cleveland Clinic, we have such a cadre of experienced nurses, different specialty nurses, passionate nurses, and, you know, what can they speak to about our profession and caring for patients and everything we do to serve this organization as well as just patients overall. So, you know, really using this venue as a way to tell our stories and have not only nurses hear from other nurses, but other people hear from nurses. And so hopefully it's garnering lots of traction, which I know it is, and we'll continue to grow in that space. And I look forward to some of the future ideas. But really, it's a space where people are getting information and using it as a venue. So why not?
Sure. And I was listening to a non-healthcare podcast the other day, and it was interesting to hear those hosts talk about it's one of the few mediums where there really isn't competition because anybody can put it out there. And yes, obviously you want to attract an audience, but there's so many options. It's really who do you speak to? And there's plenty of space in this venue for that type of media.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we've had great success in other Cleveland Clinic podcasts that I've listened to. I love hearing from people I know. It's always great to kind of have that. And, you know, I hope that the voices that we've had on this podcast with you as the host are really getting to a broader audience across the world in terms of this.
Well, and we were able to look at some of our data so far, and it's fascinating to tell you that, you know, we're 26 episodes in, and we've been listened to in 42 different countries and across the U.S. Yeah, I had to look at it again. I'm like, that can't be right, but it is. And so whoever you are, wherever you are, thank you for tuning in, and we're just getting started. So we wanted to take this episode, as we're welcoming you back, to really reflect on the year that we've gotten some really great feedback on a lot of the topics, but sort of lean into some of those topics that we've already talked about to get your take on them, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So diving right in, one of our most listened to episodes was the discussion we had posted. It was actually Nurses Week of 2023 with Mary Beth Modick on the image of nursing. Obviously, a topic she's very passionate about, and I know you are as well. Yes. What are your thoughts about how do we portray an image of nursing and how do we continue to elevate it?
So this topic, I was grateful for Mary Beth taking on this topic for our podcast. She is an avid leader in this space around what we need to be doing as our professional citizenship. And I know that she has a passion around that. And I really think about what is the image of our profession and what are we putting out there for our patients, for the families that come with them, for our fellow nurses, for nursing students, and other healthcare professionals. And we own our image.
Yeah.
So it's what we're putting out there. You know, we always can't control other media sources, but if we do our best to control what people see and view the image of the professional nurses, that's really up to us. We guide that. And so just as anything, how we speak about it, how mm-hmm. we present ourselves, everything from nonverbals to presentation to our knowledge to just what we say is really crucial to the image of our profession.
And sure.
we continue to be boasted as the most trusted professional. Mm-hmm. We still have some work, I think, to do on how all people view the image of the nursing profession. Yeah. Anybody that's a nurse knows it's a lot more complex than, you know, just being the angel right. at the bedside yes. as we've gotten, you know, historically portrayed. And the contributions are vast.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to speak to that. And, you know, I think of myself just in terms of I am an advanced practice nurse, have a clinical nurse specialist certification. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, been one of my favorite jobs. And I never really articulated that role to people.
Oh,
and
okay.
I would just go into a room with a patient and say,
sure. here I am.
Here I am a nurse and I'm doing yeah. this instead of this. But why didn't I say, you know, I'm a clinical nurse specialist, and what does that mean? And mm-hmm. educate more people. And I think that's part of that image.
Sure.
Is that it's
the various roles within
the various
nursing.
Roles. Yeah. And how do we articulate that, really?
Yeah. So I'm hoping you can share with our audience a story that you told us at the Nursing Leadership Summit.
Sure.
So you and I, just outside of this venue, have had conversations about, is nursing still a great profession? And obviously, we both think it is, but you go out there and you tell the community and you start recruiting. Can you share with our audience a story about the high school students you've talked to of late?
Right. I think it's really important that we portray that this is a great profession. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to be a nurse. I'm proud to be a nurse for, you know, coming on 25 years this summer. And mm-hmm. the endless opportunities, the stories, the patient connections that I've been able to afford in this profession, and, you know, really why it truly is a joy to be able to do this type mm-hmm. of work. When you think about high school students, I really think we need to think about, are you thinking about, you know, nursing is a STEM career, right? It's
yes.
science, technology,
yeah.
engineering, and math.
Mm-hmm. We use all those.
We use all of those every day, yep. you know, every minute. And how do we think about that in mm-hmm. terms of what does that mean to contributing to patient care? Mm-hmm. And in what other profession do you get to touch the lives of so many people? And really,
right.
people are relying on us to be able to have their loved ones go home and be with them and be happy and be healthy and, you know, have great quality of life and have their symptom managed. And nurses are doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, I had a great experience of being with some high school students, and they were talking about seeing nursing for the first time and everything they were learning. And we just talked about what type of specialty they mm-hmm. wanted to be in. And of course, a bunch of them said pediatrics. And then a couple of them said, I want to be a pediatric travel nurse. And I was like, whoa,
you know, slow down.
Let's be nurses first. And just really being able to talk with them about how impactful it is and what all the different jobs are.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just about giving medications or helping patients to the bathroom.
Right.
Or
it's not,
you know,
the task.
It's not the task. It's
yeah.
the critical thinking. It's mm-hmm. the connections there.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. So here's another conversation I'm going to let our audience in on that you and I have had.
Yeah.
Is nursing a calling or a career?
So you and I talked about this a lot. I say both.
Yes.
Interesting enough, another venue I was in recently, someone said, you know, when the person was giving some helpful hints on well-being and balance, and they're like, so when you leave these doors, you're not a nurse anymore. And I was like, whoa.
hold on.
That's really hard to say, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think any nurse knows they're a nurse 24/7, right? Whether
as soon as somebody else in their life knows they're a nurse.
Yes,
they're always
exactly,
coming to them
exactly.
with something.
And so it's not for the faint of heart, and
right.
that it is a calling, but it's also a career.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff now I'm doing as a nurse leader, I never would have envisioned
oh,
as
sure.
part of nursing.
Yeah.
In the conversations and the scope and the bandwidth of the things nurses are taking on daily. So I say it's both because, again, you can't do this without having some compassion for your patients, but
sure.
compassion for others taking care of them. And one of our guiding principles is we treat each other and our patients as we would treat our own family. And that's where I think the calling comes in, because what's
sure.
more important than our own family? And we want
that's right.
everyone to have that
yeah.
care. So I say calling and career for
all right.
for both.
Well, and when you think about it, we need plenty of people to join the nursing profession. We need people who are coming at it for what one could argue the right reasons, but the right reasons don't have to start with, I'm on a mission, I had a calling. They can be, I want a really solid career that is involved in helping people.
Absolutely.
And each one of those can sustain us in our own ways.
And I think the beauty of it is it doesn't have to be always vertical or hierarchical movement. It can be horizontal movement.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you can learn new things
Absolutely.
All the time. I'm learning new things all the time about specialties I never
right.
did.
Maybe didn't even exist
yes,
you, when
exactly.
we, you and I got into this. Yep.
So I think it can be geographically rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It can be specialty rewarding, role rewarding. schedule or rewarding, whatever's fitting your life at the time and, mm-hmm. you know, where your values stand in terms of career progression. And I think it ultimately, for those that stay near and dear to it, they realize it's a calling, even if it didn't start out as a calling. You know,
sure.
You and I talking recently about a nurse who's 80 years old in the OR. Amazing, right? That's a calling, right?
Yes,
to be able to do
absolutely.
That for that long. And, you know, the calling comes at different times for people.
Yep. Yeah, we were touring some of the units of Cleveland Clinic main campus yesterday, and I ended up on my very first unit I worked on, and that was 20 years ago, and yet it might as well have been yesterday for all the memories that come back. So we all find our own ways to stay sustained in this career.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to switch gears on you now. So speaking of, we'll switch gears to that. So we've visited that a couple times this year. We talked to Craig Tobias, really focusing on sort of that inpatient nursing speaking up. And then recently we had Dina Solomon on, really that perioperative take on speaking up. Another topic that you and I are both very passionate about. So I would love to hear some of your thoughts about speaking up and listening up.
Well, you know where I start
I
this
stole
conversation.
Your punchline.
Yes, you know where this conversation always goes with me. We can encourage everyone to speak up, but we also need everybody around them to listen.
Yep.
And listening is such a key part of everything, not only with fellow caregivers speaking up with patient concerns or, you know, is it environment concerns, but speaking up for patients or when patients speaking up, how are we listening to them?
Sure. Yeah.
How do we respond to them? How do we respond to their family members? I always say patients and family because I was peds, so we were always dealing with small people and the people around them. And I think I really take to heart that listening, and it has to be at all levels. So it has to be in terms of patient safety, environmental safety. You are always going to learn something from speaking with different caregivers and nurses around, you know, what they're speaking about and finding kind of what that root cause is. I've learned a lot in my leadership journey is, you know, don't be ready with an answer because then you're not listening. You kind of want to be able to respond. But if you're worrying about how you're going to respond, how well are you really listening?
Sure.
And people have to have a good experience speaking up. And so we need to embrace that as a team. When we talk about the reason for speaking up isn't just to protect our patients, it's to protect each other and to protect teams. So, you know, when we think about the periop setting, that OR team that's doing surgery on a patient, someone speaking up, whether it's the anesthesiologist, the CRNA, the scrub nurse, the circulating nurse, the surgeon, the first assist, the whole team should be listening because they're trying to protect everybody in that room from either
from the patient
doing some harm or whatever that is. So we have to respect all that and not kind of brush it aside being, you know, oh, that's really not a concern.
Right.
Just hearing it.
Yeah.
And maybe it isn't, and that's okay.
That's right. Yeah.
But let's acknowledge
it. Acknowledge it. Sure. So speaking up at the bedside looks a little different than it does in your first leadership role or in an executive leadership role, you know, patient room versus boardroom. So what lessons have you learned over your career in terms of how to modulate your speaking up to make sure that you're heard?
There is timing of stuff.
Yes.
And there's always going to be timing, and you do have to learn that. And you do have to read the room, whether it's a patient room or a room of peers, your team, a group of fellow leaders at the executive table, at a boardroom table, or what is the right conversation, say, in advocacy with legislatures?
Mm-hmm. You know,
what is the right climate for
speaking up for our communities?
Yeah. Speaking up in that space. I also think we have to be very skilled as nurses and in healthcare around recognizing the emotions and recognizing the mood of a room. And I believe nurses get very poised at doing this. I think of my own specialty. You know, I could go in one room and a child was just newly diagnosed with leukemia that has a very, very good cure rate. And so we have to, you know, be the cheerleader, the pep talk. This is going to be okay.
Yeah.
You got diagnosed. We have a treatment plan. There's going to be some bumps in the road. It's going to be hard, but, you know.
We got this.
We got this as a team, and we're going to take good care of you and really this positive. And then switching gears, I can remember going down the hall on the same day, and it's a patient, young child, end of life because their diagnosis was not the same. And so how do you go from being super positive for one family and then recognizing the different
gravity.
Mood there?
Yeah.
And so I think nurses do that all the time, whether it's pediatric oncology, as my specialty was, but it could be in a surgical specialty. It could be in an ICU. It could be, you know, the planned didn't happen in the OR. The surgery didn't go as planned. Let's say it was supposed to be laparoscopic and now it has to switch. And that could be, you know, a change in plans for the patient, whatever that is. And so I think we all do a good job of switching to the recognizing that. And it takes a lot of emotional intelligence to be able to do that. And those skills go beyond the patient care piece. Sometimes it's just not the right time of, I've even learned over the years with one-on-ones, whether it's been a peer that we're just having a conversation or a member of my team, if they're having a rough day, it might not be the day to be like, or they're sharing a lot going on.
I need to give you some feedback.
Yeah. By the way, I need to give you this feedback. So is that, you know, is that layering on mm-hmm. or what is the right timing of that? I'm also one for not, you know, also wanting things not to wait either, because I think that
sure,
it doesn't
there's
do
a timing to it.
Giving that type of feedback sometimes it's like, how long have you known about this?
Right. Or, when? You know, when did I do that?
Yeah. And then I think in, you know, larger kind of exec team-based conversations, you want to be accurate in your information mm-hmm. and you don't want to speak out of turn and you don't want to make assumptions and just right. for the sake of trying to have an answer and or trying to think there's questions you don't know.
Sure.
Getting very comfortable at being like, I'm not really sure I can get back to you. Let me follow up on that.
Not easily done. Mm-hmm.
And I think the other piece of it is being able to see all perspectives. If the stakes are high, if you can do this, put yourself in that other person's shoes.
Sure.
And how would you want to be addressed? How would you want the response? And I always go with the old adage is, you know, I'd rather have someone come to me first before going to others. And so
right. Lasering somebody in a meeting is not the way to go.
It doesn't work out for anyone. No. And it's not very respectful.
There's certain things that you just get better over time or watching other people. You know, when I think about the role models I've had and maybe some of the folks that I've been a role model to, you know, when you're in a procedure, if somebody's broken sterile technique, you're throwing yourself, I mean, you're not throwing yourself over the patient, but you're doing something right now to stop that line. Mm-hmm. That's often not how it works with each step away from the bedside. Is there's a timing to that, but if you come at an executive level debate with that same intensity of emotion, people are going to react to that emotion and not the words that you're mm-hmm. saying.
Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. I think back on a reflection of when I was trying to stop the line as a nurse, and even in that situation, it was tough because mm-hmm. you know, there was risk to patient harm.
Yeah.
Not acute patient harm.
But still.
But, you know, again, my pediatric lens,
yes.
the father was in the room. So, oof. You know, how are you trying to speak up and
without
in that
terrifying
space without,
him.
Yes, without
yeah.
making oof. A parent more nervous? Yeah. There's ways to try to do that. We're also in a teaching environment, many of us.
Yes.
And so we have to be open to teaching and learning mm-hmm. and, you know, understanding that side of it, too.
Yeah.
I'm the first patient, you know, can a med student come? Can a resident? Yeah, yeah. sure, bring them on. Everybody's
right.
got to learn.
Exactly. We all started somewhere. Well, we're going to switch gears one last time then and talk about leadership. So it's been another popular topic over the last year. Everything from our discussion with Kelly Hancock about stepping into that very first nursing leadership role. We had, again, thank you to your blessing for the live panel discussion.
That
was
so
me
fun.
And four CNOs on a stage and everyone in between. So you've had a fantastic career that's gone from that bedside to our executive leader. What sort of aha moments have you had over that tenure that somebody who they're a nursing student with aspirations of leadership, or maybe that nurse who is thinking about leadership, or maybe I'm a manager and I sort of need some rejuvenation. What are some tips you'd give to each of those audiences?
So I think a couple things. First off, you need to know yourself and you need to evaluate yourself on your values and your value proposition as to what you're looking for.
Sure.
Very good clinicians can make very good leaders, but, you know, what reasons are you in it for?
Yes, sure. And it isn't always one-to-one.
No, and it's not. And, you know, where is your passion around it? Because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be successful in any of it if you have no passion or
right.
value proposition for, you know, mm-hmm. why you want to be a either executive leader, people leader, whatever level
sure.
of leader that is. You know, we always say all nurses are leaders in some sense. They're leading
yeah.
teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're leading patient care.
Mm-hmm.
So those aspects are all there, but it kind of shifts when you have to lead others
mm-hmm.
and lead in an organization to move strategic priorities forward. I would say you have to embrace data and be data-driven mm-hmm. around your leadership. And so taking the whole picture in,
yeah,
you know, when you're looking at situations, determine what is not value add. So
ooh, this is a tough one.
I always go with, you know, what got me here, but
right.
it's not always going to get me there.
Right.
So you want to stay attuned to the attributes that have gotten you to be a successful leader or a leader. But then also think about as you change roles or change
right.
leadership responsibilities, how am I spending my time? And
sure.
reflect on that.
Do I need to evolve?
Yes.
Do I have the skills I already need?
I think early on, I said yes to every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily about my time or getting paid for it. Lead a committee, take on a project, chair this council. Yes, sure, I'll do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you were the chair of the clinical council for shared governance the first time I met
yeah.
you.
The funny rule is that, you know, don't leave the room and take a bio break because you'll get named chair when you leave the
right?
room. That's happened to me a few times.
We voted while you were gone.
But I think that's a hard thing because you hear a lot out there about how do you say no to stuff. But you know, if you say, you know, everything you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. But I don't
have a dark way to look at it.
I don't look at it that way, because when I've said yes to stuff, whether it's been within my employer and the organization I work for, or professional organizations or schools, it's led to great learnings for me and great opportunities for different networking and really, you know, that fulfilling my own professional growth goals.
Sure.
I think other things that you always have to ask yourself the hard questions and then not be afraid to get real feedback. And
some people are better than others at that.
And you just have to be open to it.
Yeah.
I try to stay firm too. I'd want to know myself, so don't be afraid to tell me. And I want to try and be better at, is it better at listening? Is it less multitasking? And those are two valid things I've, you know, tried to, been working on. Communication style, how do you hold people accountable, all of those things, and how you can learn from the feedback or how other people have been successful. So those are the big things. And have fun. Figure out how you're going to have fun. Don't make it business from the time you get here to the time you leave. Is it taking that quick walk, connecting with someone, stopping in the hall to talk to a caregiver?
Yes.
Introducing yourself to somebody you don't know.
Right.
In our organization, we can find the nurses and PCNAs because they're uniforms.
That's right.
So I always am like, hey, I'm going to introduce myself. So I think trying to find that like joy and the fun every day.
Well, and it's serious work, but people can pick up on whether you're all serious or you feel that joy and that happiness by being able to do this work.
And it goes back to kind of timing, what you said about like, when do you speaking up or when do you have these conversations? It's not always appropriate.
Right.
You know, it's not the time. So you have to learn, you know, maybe it's not time for a joke or kind of to make something lighthearted, serious topics, but it is important to kind of laugh about stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, unbelievably. I could talk about every single episode we had last year with you, but we'll just have to say that for our second year anniversary, perhaps.
Yes.
So wanted to spend a few minutes letting our audience get to know a little bit more about you as the amazing human being you are. And I spent the last year asking everybody but you this question.
All right.
Because I think we didn't start it until after your episode. So you talked a little about professional joy, but I'm hoping you're willing to share with our audience, whether it's professional or personal, what brings you joy?
So I have lots of fun hobbies that I like to do and how I spend my time when I'm not at work. Some of it overlaps. I love to stay active. I love spending time with my family and friends. I love going to sporting events, and those sporting events have now turned into my dear friends' kids and my nieces and nephews, and the joy of seeing my nieces get the ball in the basket or the volleyball over the net on a serve brings me joy. And also just doing the basic fun things, spending time with them. Travel brings me joy, finding new places, mainly in the United States. I think there's a lot to explore here. I love to read. People are going to hear me talk about that until I'm blue in the face. Reading is definitely what finds joy. And then people hear me talk about loving to decorate for any holiday. So I find a reason to decorate for any holiday. And it does bring me joy because it's just fun.
Yeah. And you're kind of to share the pictures on Facebook so we can all be jealous or inspired. So.
Yes. I do get a lot of people being like, is that your second career? I'm like, maybe.
Well, thank you so much for joining us
Absolutely.
Today.
Thanks, Carol.
As always, thanks so much for joining us for today's discussion. Don't miss out. Subscribe to hear new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we want to hear from you. Do you have ideas for future podcasts or want to share your stories? Email us at nurseessentials@ccf.org. To learn more about nursing at Cleveland Clinic, please check us out at clevelandclinic.org/nursing. Until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute medical or legal advice. Consult your local state boards of nursing for any specific practice questions.